Okay, today's shiur is Shoftim Perek Yud. As we continue here in the story of Bnei Yisrael during the time of the Shoftim, and today we meet two of the Shoftim, but we don't really know so much about these individuals. We've already had some major players in our discussions: Osniel, Ehud, Shamgar. We don't know too much about Dvorah, Gidon. We just finished the story of Gidon and his son Avimelech, who we could call a Shofate, we cannot call a Shofate. He was a very difficult figure to figure out. He killed his 70 brothers, and he tried to rule. But now, Perek Yud is really, before we get to the next major stories of Yiftach, which will come after this, first we have a little bit of just Am Yisrael ups and downs. The Perek tells us that there was a Shofet called Tola ben Pua, who ruled, was a Shofet for 23 years. And then we have another Shofet of Ya'ir HaGil Adi, who ruled for 22 years. So we have these, and then David describes how Bnei Yisrael sinned, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah, and Hashem got angry at them, and they davened, and Hashem said, "I've had enough of you." And they say, no, please save us. And anyone who could help us beat Bnei Ammon, they will be able to be our leader. That's how the parak ends, setting the stage for Yiftach HaGiladi, who will come onto the scene, Be'ez Hashem, in the next parak in Perek Yud Aleph. But this parak is more of a not major events that take place, more of what doesn't happen than what is not told than what is told. As we mentioned when we started learning these this Sefer, much more of the time, this Sefer that spans hundreds of years, much more of the time is not written about in Shoftim. We have 50 years where there are no sins mentioned because there was a Shofet. It's just that the action takes place when we don't follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the messages that we can learn come to us when we did not follow, and I showed at a point the Shofet, and the story of our conquering the next enemies. That's why, again, much of the 50 years that this parak takes us across, we really don't know much about those 50 years, because most of the time we were following Hashem's ways, but obviously the press, what is given in the press is when we didn't follow His ways. Okay, so now let's get into the parak. So, Vayakam Acharei Avimelech, after Avimelech, the one who comes, Lahoshia Es Yisrael, to save Am Yisrael, is Tola ben Pua, ben Dodo. Dodo is either somebody's name, Dodo, or somehow it is a cousin of Avimelech. But either way, after Avimelech comes Tola. There is a machlokas between the Radak and the Malbim. What is meant by the mention of Avimelech in the first pasuk? The Radak says that Shagam Avimelech Hoshias Yisrael, even though he was a terrible and he killed all his brothers, he was a murderer and he put down rebellions, he must have done something positive in the fact that the pasuk says after this Moshiach comes the next Moshiach. So he did some type of salvation, says the Radak. He must have done something, even though it was really blotted out and totally subsumed by his rishus that he committed. The Malbim says it's just a contrast. The contrast, after this terrible Avimelech, so then we have somebody who was actually Moshiach Am Yisrael, and that was Tola. That's the Malbim's line here. Ki Avimelech lo Hoshio samrak histarer aleihem. He controlled them, and he was powerful over them, but he didn't really do anything. So after Avimelech, we have Tola ben Pua from Yisachar. We mentioned earlier that most of the Shoftim, we know which Shevet they are from. Tola is from Yisachar. Ya'ir is Pashas from Menashe. But not every Shevet gets a Shofet. V'hu Yoshev Bishamir Bahar Ephraim. And he sat in Har Ephraim. That's interesting. He was from Yisachar and he was living in Ephraim. That must have been the seat of where the Shofet should be at that time. Because why wasn't he living in his own area? What's even more perplexing is the next line. Vayishpot es Yisrael Esr Mishalosh Shana. He's a Shofet for 23 years. Vayamas Vayikaver Bishamir. He was buried in Shamir. One second, ask the Rinas Yitzchak, or Yitzchak Saratskin. Why was he buried in Shamir? That wasn't his burial plot. Right? We know Yeshua was taken back to Timnas Cheres because that's where Yeshua's Shevet was from. Everybody's buried in their own Shevet. Right? Yosef was buried in Shechem. It's one of his sons, Chalakim. So here, if Tola was from Yisachar and he was just a Shofet in Ephraim, so why was he dafka buried in Shamir? So he says maybe it's based on an Arzarua. The Arzarua says in Baba Basra that if burying a tzaddik not in his family plot, but if it's for his kavod, so then you're allowed to bury him somewhere else. Yecholun likbar tzaddik bekever beno, ki eno genayli kaver bekever beno, afal pi sheino shelo. even though we're very nervous and worried always and concerned that a person should be buried in a mechubad place, but, and usually that's his family plot, here it must be that the place where he was a shofet is the most covered for him. And that's why he was buried there. This is a big discussion, halacha lemaisa. It comes up just to give two examples in terms of burying in a makom that is miyuchad, that is for family members and for proper kavod. Look, Rav Moshe has many tshuvas about this. I'll just read one. Rav Moshe has a tshuva discussing a case where, this is in Yaredeya, Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Samach Beis. Children, a bunch of kids, they all live in New York. And their father either was buried or even lived in Akron, Ohio. And they asked Rav Moshe in Tavshin Chav Gimel, 1963, can we move our father? We never get to go visit him. We never get to go to the kever. So maybe it's kavod for our father to be buried in New York, and therefore we'll always be able to go visit him. Like here, we just gave. Why was Tola buried in Shamir? Because that was his kavod. So Moshe was asked the question. Says Rav Moshe on Erev Shavuos, Tavshin Chav Gimel, no way. Since when does a mace have kavod by having visitors? Says Rav Moshe, that's nowhere in halacha that you have to go visit a kever. Right? It's not kavod ha-niftar. It's your kavod. You want to go visit. You want to go daven at the kever. That doesn't give them more kavod. So here, why do they want to move the father? Because it's easier for them. So they don't have to be matriach. So that's their kavod. That's not the father's kavod. Says Rav Moshe, no. You're not allowed to. That's not called kavod. But the fanos ha-renosh al-aviv. Me Akron, New York, Asher Shakol Banav, Nimsan be New York, Vikasha Lahem Lisa La Akron, Lelech Al Kivro Kinahug, Pashut Sha Asur, Shepinoi Ze Ainulchvoda Mace, Elola Hakel Alabanim, Kishirsu Lelech Al Kivra Yavos, Ube Etzem, says Rav Moshe, Kol Halicha Al Kever Avos Eino Chiyuv. There's no Chiyuv on a yard site. People like to go, okay, that's fine, but it's a minog. It's not a kechiv at all. Ula kisvei arizal shehevi maged Avram ein leilik klal lebeis hakfaris. Aflat sarach biker al kivrei avos. Right, the arizal quotes, you should never go to the beis hakfaris. Aval, now everybody goes to the arizal. Aval av shehaolam noagin leilich al kivrei avos vechoshrin shezel chavod av. And even though that's the minog, and I'm not going to tell people not to do it, but people think it's the covet of the father. Ein ze covet ameis sheshayach lahatir apinui bishvol ze. It's not enough covet ameis to allow one to move. What's called likrat samos, to move the body. No, you can't do that. Shalom b'shvil kol kavod anidme lo adam matir lefanos. Not for every kavod that people think is a kavod, you're allowed to move it. No, that's not called kavod hameis says Rav Moshe. That's one tshuva. Another tshuva, they have, here's a tshuva in Yaredeya Chelek Gimel, Simon Kufnun Gimel, about moving Moses Montefiore's kever. Be'inyin pini atzamos hasar Moshe Montefiore, La'aretz Yisrael. When he was one of the big philanthropists that gave a lot of money at the beginning of the Yishuv, in the first half of the 1900s, many Yishuvim are named after him or somebody in his family. And Rav Moshe again writes, why are you moving him? Because there's a mitzvah to come to Eretz Yisrael, so why him and not all the great gedolim that were buried throughout the world? Says Rav Moshe, he says, that's not called a kavod. Are you going to get all the Jews in Chutz La'aretz and move them? No, if somebody expressed specifically that they want, that's something else. But here he didn't. Here Rav Moshe says he had the chance to go. Umei Rov Ritzono, he says he wanted to be buried dafke in his place where he lived. Hare Chazinan, he says he wasn't mitzave it, and therefore there is no reason to allow it. But again, like we learned here from the Rinas Yitzchak, if it's a real kavod, and the posting says it's a real kavod, right, to be buried in a family plot, and if somebody's buried in the middle of nowhere, not in the family plot, so then it's a question to ask. Anyway, so that's Tola, that's the next shofet that we discussed, and we don't really know much about him, we just know he was ruled for 23 years. Next, Vayakam Acharav, Ya'ir HaGiladi, Ya'ir, the Giladi. So Pashto's Gilad is from Aver HaYarden, and that's why we assume that he was from Menashe. Gilad is mentioned in the Torah also, at the end of Pashas Matos. When we talk about Gilad, Vayitin Moshe es HaGilad, L'machir be-Menashe, Vayeshebah. Moshe gave the area of Gilad to Machir, the son of Menashe. And that's where he lives. That's why we assume, even though Rashi is not so sure about it, Rashi, we mentioned in the past, as a Rashi says, I'm not sure if every one of the Shvatim had a shofet, and he mentions Ya'ir as one of them, but here, HaGiladi, other Rishonim assume that it was from, he was from Menashe. Vayishmar Eretz Yisrael Esrim Vishtayim Shana, 22 years. Vayihilo, and what do we know about him? We know he had Shloshim Banim, Rochvim Al Shloshim Ayarim. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 types of animals. Ushloshim Ayarim Lam, and they each had 30 cities. A lot of 30s here. Is it Dafka? If you look later on, there's more 30s. In Perek Yud Beis, in Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk tells us, by Ivson, who we're going to learn about, according to some, is Boaz. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. And they marry them all off. Again, another 30. And you look later on also. If you look in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalid, a couple of psukim later, by the Shofet Avdon, he had 40 sons and 30 grandchildren. 30 is a nice round number, it seems, that the people had in terms of their family size. But what does the pasuk continue and say? So he had these 30 sons, and they had 30 cities. Lohem yikru'u chavos ya'ir ad hayom hazeh asheh be'eretz Gilad. To these they called chavos ya'ir, the suburbs of ya'ir. Until today, Asheb Eretz Agilad, on the east side of the Jordan. The Radak says that we know, back in the Torah, what I read before in the end of Matos, Ya'ir was a son of Menashe. Could this be the same son? Pashtus not, says the Radak. What, he lived for hundreds of years? At this time, you know, nobody lived for more than 120. Right, this was much later in history than they lived for a long time. So they said, we're talking about Ya'ir, gave the Chavos Ya'ir. So it could be the same cities, says the Radak, but it's very hard to believe that it was the same person that is being dealt with by Yamas Ya'ir, that Ya'ir Agaladi is Ya'ir ben Menashe. It's that same person. Very difficult to say that, says the Radak, because he would be more than 300 years old. Once Ya'ir ben Menashe comes up, though, Machlokas, whether it's the same person or not, I've mentioned in the past an unbelievable thought from Rav Schwab, in Mayan Beset Shoeva, there, at the end of Matos, notes, why is it that Ya'ir, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk at the end of Matos mentions two people. Ya'ir ben Menashe, who we're discussing now. Halach vayokod es chavoseim, he conquered cities and he named them Chavos Ya'ir, suburbs of Ya'ir. Novach also, a relative, went and he conquered Knas and Benoseha, and he named the city Novach, after his name. That's the Pasuk. The Medrash darshins, and Rashi quotes it, the last Rashi in Matos, that Novach cities didn't last. You never find anywhere Novach. But here, in Shoftim, you have the Chavos Ya'ir, they're still around. The Chavos Ya'ir stayed. So why, yes, the Rav Schwab was Ya'ir ben Menashe Zocha to have his cities stay? And here, you have it in Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Hey, you have Chavos Ya'ir. While Novach cities didn't. So says Rav Schwab, there's a slight difference between what Ya'ir and what Novach did, and that gives it all away. What did Ya'ir name his cities? Chavos Ya'ir. The suburbs of Ya'ir. He didn't name their cities Ya'ir. He named them suburbs of Ya'ir. Novach, what did Novach name his cities? Novach. What's the difference? Says Rav Schwab, are our properties, are our assets, are all the things we have, do we define ourselves by what we have? That's who we are. We have a car. We have a house. That's me. Or no. I have stuff. I have everything I need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully I look at it like that. But that's that, and this is me. I'm not defined by my stuff. I'm not defined by my items that I gather, all my assets. No, that's my money. That's my property. But that's not me. That was the difference between Ya'ir and Novach. Novach named his cities Novach. Right, that's me. It was a total identification with his property. Masha Enkein, Ya'ir, Chavos Ya'ir. It was his suburbs, but it wasn't him. What do we define ourselves by? What does it say in Tehillim? David HaMelech says, Va'ani Tfila. I am Tfila, David says. I am a servant of God. I am a person who talks to Hashem. That's me. That's the Mahus of the person. It's not just as a side point. And that's what he says. Vihinei, after talking about the difference between nechasim of a person and the nechasim defined by a person, he says, Ha'adam sheish lo nechasim, heim nikram nechasim al shmo, aval heim dvarim shechutz legufo, veinam chelek me etzem mitziuso. That was Ya'ir. Aval Novach called the city Novach. That's why isn't there a Novach in our parak? Because that's gone. You define yourself by your city, you're going to lose it. Hamareshu mizdahe im nechasim liyos etzem echad. And that's no good. And he says, b'chol mitzvahs that we do, we have to be defined by our mitzvahs. Lo yitachein sheyisached adam im ha-mitzvah, shrei lo nasa adam achefet shal shofar. Doesn't mean that you become a shofar. Doesn't mean that you become a lula. But mitzvahs, the actions of mitzvahs, so that you do become. I'm a lomed Torah. I'm a mispalel. I'm a person who's defined by his mitzvos. That's David HaMelech, right? I need tefillah. So he says, that's what we have to realize is the message of Ya'ir to Novach. Okay, so we continue now. B'nai Yisrael in Pasuk Vav, Vayosifu B'nei Yisrael Asos HaRabbeinu Hashem. Again, B'nei Yisrael do evil, do bad, Vayavdu, and they serve seven different Avodah Zarahs. Ba'alim, Ashtaros, Elohei Aram, Elohei Tzidon, Elohei Moav, Elohei B'nei Am, Elohei Plishtim, so many gods, Vayazvu as Hashem Elo Avdu. We left HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We lived. The Gemara in Beitza even darshins. He says there's a type of very hard bean called the turmesin. Very hard bean. The Gemara says it takes seven times in order to become soft. You have to cook it seven times in order to soften the turmesin bean. And the Gemara says, the Am Yisrael, we, the Jews, were worse than the turmesin bean. At least the turmesin bean becomes soft after seven times of cooking. And we worshipped seven Avodah Zarahs and we're still glossed. We're still following other of the Avodah Zarah. So he says we're even worse than the turmesin. We eat it for dessert. My children, says Hashem, right, don't even treat me like a turmesin bean. I'm even worse. They worship Avodah Zarah and they're even looking for more. So it's, we have to realize, one of the low points that we have in the ups and the downs. We mentioned this in the past, but maybe we'll just read it now, because again, like we read this, we're like, what is happening with Am Yisrael? Over and over and over again, Avodah Zarah and Avodah Zarah and Avodah Zarah. So just to remember two Gemaras. One Gemara we haven't quoted recently, and that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuv Beis Amid Beis. An amazing Gemara. The Gemara says there that Rav Ashi was told at the end of his shir, the end of shir one day, he said he wanted to tell him what we're discussing the next day in shir. So he says, Lomachar Niftach Bechavrin. Tomorrow we're going to talk about some friends of ours. And who is he going to talk about? Menashe HaMelech, one of the worst of the Avodah Zarah kings in history. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Chavrin. Asa Menashe, that night Menashe came to him in a dream and says, Chavrich v'chavri davukarisle, you call me a friend? Let me ask you a kasha. Meicha bozla mishra amotzi. When you make hamotzi, where do you cut the challah from? Where do you put the cut the challah from when you make hamotzi? Rav Ashi's like, I don't know. Menashe says, you don't even know where to cut hamotzi and you call me a friend of yours? So Rav Ashi's like, okay, tell me. He says, okay, mehecha takarim bishula, where it's cooked, where it's baked the most, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We still don't know what that means. Does it mean the edge, because it's baked the most, or does it mean the middle? Okay, whatever one's been is fine. But then the Rav Ashi says, me'achar dechachmisu kulehai ma'itaymel kopachis la'avodas kochavim. If you're so smart, you know where to cut the challah, so why do you bow down to Avodah Zarah? Why do you do such terrible things, Menashe? Omar Le says Menashe, Rav Ashi, listen to me. Ihavis Hasim, if you would have been there, Havina Kitna Bishipoli Glima, you would be grabbing my cloak. The Radis Abasroi, you'd be running after me to follow me, to serve the gods that I'm serving. Meaning, at that time Avodah Zarah was a terrible taiva, was so strong. Lamachar, so Rav Ashi gets up the next morning, Amar Lehu Rabbanan, and he opens up his shir, Niftach Baravasa. Let's talk about our rabbis. Meaning he doesn't call them friends anymore. Because he realizes that we can't imagine. But again, we know this is the Gemara, Sanhedrin Kuf Beis, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Sukkah, that discussed that they knocked out the Taiva, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was destroyed. And it has to be, because we read so many stories about Am Yisrael in the Torah, in the Navi, about serving Avodah Zarah over and over again, and they don't get it. But that's Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi and Menashe. Menashe says, don't second guess us. There's such a taiva. You know the taiva for Gilui Arayos today? That was the taiva for Avodah Zarah then. And people kept going again and again and again, falling prey to this taiva. Again, this Gemara Sanhedrin Samach Dalet discusses the bittul of Avodah Zarah, and they weakened the Yetzirah for Gilui Arayos, but they did not get rid of it totally. Okay, so Hashem gets angry at Am Yisrael again, and he gives them over Biad Plishtim uviad b'nei Amon. So now we're up to Amon, and we are subjugated by Amon for 18 years. As Kol b'nei Yisrael she'bivar Yarden, and this time it's even eastward, or mainly eastward. On the east side of the Jordan, Eber HaYarden, that's where Gilad was. That's where they were, B'nai Amon were subjugating us, and then they started going westward into Yehuda and Binyamin and Beis Ephraim, and it was not a good scene. Vayizaku B'nai Yisrael al Hashem, they start crying, Hashem, we sinned. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Hashem al B'nai Yisrael. Hashem says to B'nai Yisrael, I've saved you from so many people, from so many enemies, and now you're crying to me? You think that, I'm going to save you? Unbelievable. Pasuk Yadalat, Hashem says, somewhat sarcastically, L'chu v'zaku elelu Elohim asher b'charetem ba. Why don't you go daven to your own gods? Why should I save you? Daven to the gods that you're trusted in. Heima yoshiu lachem be'isarazchem. They'll save you. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, pasuk tesvav, again chatanu. No, no, no. Asei atalanu. You help us. Kuchalato b'necha. You help us. Says the Mesudas David, says the Malbim. You know what this pasuk reminds us of? At the end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, towards the end, when David HaMelech was going to have to receive a punishment for counting the people, Hashem gave him a few choices how to get punished. David says, I want the punishment from you. I don't want the punishment from any other human source, because they're just going to do worse than they're allowed to. Vayomer David al God, tsar li ma'od niplana b'yad Hashem. Right, we say the pasuk in Tachlon. Ki rabim rachamav. I'm supposed to get punished, let Hashem punish me straight. It's like a parent. A child wants a parent to punish them, not somebody else, because at least a parent might have some rachmanis. That's what Bnei Yisrael finally say. No, you punish us, and you take care of us. Please save us. It's like the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, where he deals with why the Mitzrayim were punished. If it was already nigzar by Bris Ben Abbasarim, what does the Ramban say? Because they went above and beyond. Yes, they were supposed to be our masters, but not to kill our babies, not to be so terrible to us. So that they went above and beyond. That's what David HaMelech says at the end of Shmuel Beis, and this is what is said right here by Am Yisrael. You, we want you. So they removed their idols. They served Hashem, and then there are four words that are challenging to understand. Vatiksar, not challenging, but it's a mashal. Vatiksar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. Hashem's soul was he's had enough. Ba'amal Yisrael. What does that mean? So the Radak, all the Rishonim jump in right away. Rashi, it doesn't really mean it's anthropomorphic. It doesn't really mean Hashem was short of breath. It doesn't mean Hashem was had enough. It's mashal. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized it was time to start saving Am Yisrael. Ba'amal Yisrael, with the tsaris of Am Yisrael. The Radak quotes the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam, who says Hashem realized it was enough, and they really were doing tshuva, and it's time for them to come back. Again, anthropomorphism is a huge topic. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, if somebody believes that God has a body, so he's a kofar. And the Ravid says, what do you mean? There are many rabbis that believe that the Kodesh Baruch Hu had some type of body part. Either way, this is a big discussion. We assume one of the animamins is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not have a goof, and this is all a mashal, as many other psukim are in the Torah and in Navi. Okay, we will stop here.